Morning. It's such a joy to be here in the house of God on a Sunday morning. How many guys thoroughly enjoy worship today? I thoroughly enjoy worship. Will you give all the volunteers a big, big hand for serving week in, week out, not just here, but in the other spaces in kids and teens as well. You know, the entire service flow, it is really a worship unto God. It is not that we come together, we worship through songs, and during the offering, during the word, it's no longer worship. No, the entire service flow is worship. We come together to worship God, to participate in singing and giving of our hearts unto God. That's why I so enjoy, especially the last part of the song, the last song whereby we could just hear our neighbors, to hear the people behind us, next to us, singing songs unto God. That's beautiful worship right there. And then we move on to worshiping by giving of tithes and offering. And now worshiping God through the preaching and the receiving of God's word. You know, as a preacher, my worship unto God is as I pray, as I prepare, as I plan for the message series, that is my worship unto God. And as God's people, which is all of us, as we hear the word, as an audience of today's congregation, it is also unto worship how we receive the word, how we pay attention to the word of God, pay attention to be aware what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and also the openness of our hearts and our mind towards God's word. Okay, so that's worship unto God as well. So today, we are starting a brand new series called Perfect Peace of Mind. Say perfect peace, which is really the winning the battle in our mind. And this series, our key text or key passage that we build this series upon is found in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. I want to invite all of us to read this slowly together. Okay, so 1, 2, go. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. God, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, even as we open up our hearts, that your word will speak to us. Holy Spirit, you will speak to us so that we can hear what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, when we prepared this series, I thought that this verse is so suitable and so apt for the world that we're living in today, right? Because it is a very good verse for the world today, because peace is a very rare commodity in our world today. Our world is anything but peaceful, right? If you think about internationally speaking, there is lack of peace. In our nation, there is lack of peace as well. Economically, financially, there is lack of that economic and financial peace as well. As we look in our communities, what's going on in our communities, what's going on in our neighborhood, what's going on in our school, there is no peace in our communities. There is no peace in families as well, in households, right? Much frustration, much unmet expectation, the constant striving. There is lack of peace in our household, in our relationship, in our marriages, in our relationship between parent and children. There is no peace. What about emotional and mental health? There is definitely no peace, because depression, mental health challenges is increasing in an alarming rate. In fact, the World Economic Forum in March 2025, it coined today's generation as the anxious generation, citing that mental health pandemic in a Gen Z and Gen Alpha is on the rise due to addiction of smartphone and social media. We don't have peace in our hearts. We definitely do not have peace in our mind. So when I look at this verse, there is that promise of perfect peace for God's people, right? As God's people, we can have this promise of perfect peace in our hearts, in our minds, and we will be different. We will live different from the way that the world lives. The Bible speaks about peace more than 400-500 times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. So this verse is a promise that as God's people, that we can have perfect peace. The key here is, he says that, whose mind is stayed on you. In other words, he says perfect peace of mind comes when we fix our minds on God. Okay, perfect peace of mind comes when we fix our minds on God. Well, unfortunately, we fix our mind on anything else but God, right? Is that true? From the moment that we wake up, we reach for our smartphone, right? And we started that treadmill of consuming news, whether it is negative news, whether it's junk news, whether it's videos, whether it is the last night's sports scores, whether it is investment news, stock prices, consume WhatsApp messages, and just news after news after news. And we fix our mind on anything else but God. There is a new term in 2020, right? Word of the year, Oxford Dictionary. Word of the year in 2020 is this word called doom scrolling. Okay? Doom scrolling, I'm sure you heard of it. It is really the act of spending an excessive amount of time of reading or watching large quantity of low quality content or news, especially negative news on web or social media. And Harvard Health University, it published that doom scrolling links to the worsening of our mental health. It links to lower productivity at work. It links to negative physical health, as well as links to overall lower life satisfaction. And that's doom scrolling. That's what fills our mind today. I was telling someone yesterday that today, the thing that distracts us from a relationship with God, from the clarity of mind, it is no longer the devil. It is our smartphone. It is true. Doom scrolling, 2020. Last year, word of the year in Oxford Dictionary 2024. Guess what? It is brain rot. It's true. A word of the year, brain rot, is being introduced in our vocabulary. It is a perceived loss of intelligence or critical thinking skills attributed to overconsumption of unchallenging or worthless content or material. Just 2 days ago, New York Times published an article, How AI and Social Media Contribute to Brain Rot. Subtitle, AI, Search Tools, Chatbots, and Social Media are Associated with Lower Cognitive Performance, according to studies. That's what happened. Brain rot is like junk food to our brain. Okay, we know. Sometimes we like to indulge in some junk food once in a while. But we know the long-term implication if we were to consume junk food as our main staple of our diet. We will know our long-term effect on our body in the same way. Consumption, when we do not fix our eyes, fix our mind on God, when we fix our mind on every other thing, long-term effect, we do not have peace. Right? We do not have peace. If we were to describe our minds today, it is being described by all these words. We are constantly distracted. We are constantly overthinking, anxious, weary, distressed, overly entertained, attention deficit, overwhelmed, restless, crowded, overtaken. These are words that describe our mind today. That's not perfect peace, right? It's anything but perfect peace. But that's true of our mind. Bring it closer to home, according to The Age and New Straits Times. An average Malaysian spent 141 days browsing internet a year. That's a lot of days. Okay, 141 days browsing internet. Essentially, it's one-third of the day. Essentially, it's 8 hours a day online. Whether it's WhatsApp, whether it's social media, that's the truth of the matter. And all these are contributing to the battles in our mind. And we are beginning to see, because smartphone and social media has been around long enough for studies to be conducted, there is enough data right now conducted so that we are now aware of the impact of these things to our mind. And that's why Australia, December onwards, next month onwards, the ban on social media accounts for those 16 years old and below. And Denmark is following suit. Last week, they announced that they are considering the minimum age on certain social media is age 15. And above, because right now we are beginning to see the impact if we do not have a mind that is clear or that is grounded, that is sound. But in fact, our minds today, we are filled with all these words. The world brings not peace, but chaos to our minds. The world brings not peace, but chaos to our mind. And the Bible has already warned us. Okay, the Bible has already warned us thousands of years ago that our minds will be defiled. Titus 1:15. What does defile mean? It means to profane. It means to corrupt, to stain. The contamination, the Greek word here used in Titus, it says that the contamination of our mind that hinders us or isolates us from a relationship with God. There is that defilement of mind so that we no longer have the ability to connect with God. That's true. Defiled minds, blinded minds, we are not able to see God. We are not able to see the goodness and God in the picture. This Ephesians 4, numb and darkened minds, it is powerful. It says that this Greek word here used is having lost all sensitivity, right? Numbness. It describes a deeper moral and spiritual numbness where a person's conscience has become so dull through persistent sin and unbelief that they no longer feel pain or shame for their actions. And I think about some of the news that we read about what's going on in the school, whether it is the violent stabbing, whether it is the different things that's happening in the school. We begin to wonder, how could they do such thing? Don't they feel any conscience? Don't they feel any guilt? Don't they feel anything? It is a numb and darkened mind, whereby morally speaking, spiritually speaking, it has been desensitized that we no longer feel anything, any shame, pain for our action because our mind has been so numb and darkened. Recently on a flight, I catch a movie. It is a movie that is loosely based on the true story of young people being lured because of the promise of work to another country. And when they're in that country, they realize that it is really a syndicate that scammed them they get beaten up, they get rounded up, they get placed into a place that they do not know where, and they have been starved, and they have been forced to work in a center that essentially scam people online and through calls. And sometimes we wonder, how could these people begin even to think? Don't they have any conscience? The evil and the darkness of the mind of these people who treat another human being. This is one human being treating another human being, and we realize that the Bible has warned us about the war and the battle that is in our mind. Numb and darkened minds, rebellious minds, Romans 8:7. That's the kind of war and battle that's going on in our mind. So the question for us here is, what kind of content are you consuming? What kind of content are you consuming? What are you fixing your eyes upon? Negativity? Is it violent? Is it horror? Is it sensuality? I'm asking this so that we are aware what are all these contents is doing to our mind. What are all these content doing to our soul? And what are all these content doing to our relationship with God? On the other hand, again, as God's people, there is the promise of perfect peace of mind when we fix our minds on God. On one hand, the world brings chaos to our mind. On the other hand, we have been promised perfect peace. I don't know about you, but I want the perfect peace of God. Now let's take a look deeper at Isaiah 26, the key passage. Isaiah 26, that three passage, essentially it's a prophetic chapters that not just speaks about the near distance of fulfillment, but it also speaks about the future fulfillment in Messiah. But essentially, it is a song of praise sang by the nation of Judah in a time of oppression and hardship. Okay, so it's not a song of praise during good times, okay, when we have good things going on in our family, we get promoted, we get a good bonus, our football team wins. No, it's not that. It is in times of oppression and hardship that is this song of praise being sung. It is also a glimpse of future resurrection hope, but essentially, it is a celebration of God's faithfulness, of that promise of perfect peace in the midst of chaos for those who trust Him. Okay, so let's take a look again. It says, you keep Him in perfect peace. So this word peace, English word peace, it does justice to the Hebrew word called shalom. Say the word shalom. The word shalom here, it speaks about wholeness. Okay, it means lacking nothing. It speaks about completeness. Everything in order, everything that is complete. It speaks about well-being. Mental well-being, physical well-being. It speaks about safety. It speaks about health. It speaks about harmony. The relationship with God and one another, self, creation. It speaks about that harmony with that relationship. It speaks about the peace that the inner peace that come independent of external circumstances. That's shalom, okay? Very different from the English word peace, okay? Very different. But the word perfect peace, essentially in Hebrew, it's translated as shalom, shalom. Okay? Shalom is repeated 2 times. It's a way of Hebrew writing when they emphasize a certain concept. It's just like when Jesus walked in the gospel, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, which means that this is very important. Okay, Hokkien is wakalukong, okay? Very important. Truly, truly. But here it says, perfect peace is shalom, shalom. In the sense that there is that completeness of peace, lack nothing, that only God can give us. So this perfect peace comes from trusting the Lord. This perfect peace is not an absence of problems. It is not an absence of conflict or troubles. It is not dependent on external circumstances. It is the quiet confidence, the inner peace, the hopeful outlook, inner rest of trusting who God is. Wow, I want that. So how do we get that? I want that shalom, shalom. I want that perfect peace. How do we get that? Well, whose mind is stayed on you. That is the key, that our minds is stayed upon God. Whatever you fix on, whatever you feed, it will grow. When we fix our mind in God, you begin to find that your mind and your soul will gain clarity. Because today, it's almost like, you know, taking pictures. There is that camera lens that, you know, kind of zoom. Before that, it's kind of blurry. But once you focus, it becomes clear. In the same way, when our mind is so clouded with so many things that we do not see things clearly, we make unwise decisions. Emotional leads us astray and we make unwise, ungodly, unrighteous decisions because our mind is not clear. Our mind is fixated on the wrong thing. What does state on you means? Okay, it means to establish firmly, to fasten upon, to lean on, to fix on, to sustain by, to stand on, to rest upon. Okay, so it speaks about that focus upon God. It reminds me of, you know, horse racer. When a horse is in a race, they put this blinder on the horse, okay, so that their eyes is not distracted to the left and to the right, that their eyes could be fixated towards the front so that they could run the race. In the same way, that our mind needs to be, in a sense, guided and guarded so that our mind is fixated on God, which is the good things. We need to train our mind, okay? It requires training of our mind. There's a verse in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, it says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Okay, we like to entertain gossip. We like to entertain, you know, rumors. But he says, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, we know working out is, you need to train, you need discipline. But godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. In the same way, we need to train our mind to fix upon God. Yesterday during dialogue, there was a question about how do we do that? How do we fix our mind on God? Okay, so there is a book by David McIntyre. He's a Scottish minister in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he wrote how prayer time is hard work. It is discipline. And he advocates 3 things. He says, number 1, find a quiet place. Number 2, a quiet hour. And number 3, a quiet heart. Okay? A quiet place, a quiet hour, and a quiet heart for us to train fixing our minds onto God. I challenge each and every one of us. You know, when we wake up in the morning, don't just reach out to our smartphone, but maybe we can sit up in bed and we can just close our eyes and try to fix our minds on God. And let me tell you, it's harder than you think at first because our mind wanders, right? Our mind begins to think, what should I do? Our mind begins to think, what about this and what about that? But you have to discipline your mind to say, I'm going to fix my mind on God. God, what are you wanting to say to me today? God, I commit my day to you. I focus my mind onto you. You do that for a good 2 minutes, maybe. And then you go on and start your day. Find your time. Find a place. Find an hour. Quiet down your heart so that you can learn to fix your mind unto God. As the verse goes on, he says, because he trusts in you. Why do we want to fix our mind unto God? Because we trust God. Because God is trustworthy, right? Because God has been there since the beginning and the end. In fact, he says, trust the Lord. The Lord here is Yahweh, which is the usage of a covenantal word forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Another version says it speaks about Rock of Ages. There was a hymn called Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Written in 1776 by a minister by the name of Augustus Toplady. He was actually in the UK. He was actually making his way from one place to another, and he was hit by a thunderstorm. Okay, it was so bad that he was around a hill. It was a rocky hill, and there was thunder, and he thought that he was going to die. Okay, because there was just a huge storm. He thought he was going to die, but there was a little opening in the hill, in the rock, and there was like a cleft, and he was able to step inside, and he was able to find shelter, that little refuge, that little space gap within the hill that safely sheltered him from that storm. And that speaks about the kind of peace, the kind of refuge and shelter that we can have when we begin to trust in the Lord. In the midst of storms of life, in the midst of chaos and problems, we can step into that place and to find perfect peace. Today, you may be going through the biggest storms of your life. It could be a medical health situation in your family. It could be a situation with one of your child. It could be a big financial work situation that you are going through. It could be a mental situation that you are going through. But I want to encourage you that as you turn your eyes and turn your mind directed towards God, why? Because God is trustworthy. Because we can trust God. As we turn our minds to fix it upon Jesus, that we will begin to experience the peace of God that God wants for us. You know, these 3 weeks, we really want us to desire that peace. To desire to, you know, the world tells us to find peace in so many different places, right? More holidays, yay, okay? Go for more restaurants and more cafe, more food, more shopping will bring you peace, and more go to more massages, more essential oil diffusion in a house or whatever, okay? The world will recommend many things to find peace, and that's all good stuff, but it's temporal, right? It will never compare to the perfect peace, because the source of perfect peace is from God, it's divine. But all other source of peace is, the source is human being, right? The things that we do, right? Whether they're the promise of, if you were to get this thing and you will find peace. If you were to stay in a place with a nice garden, you will find peace. And all these are main, the source of peace is men. But when we begin to tap into God, the source of peace, it is different. In the New Testament, when Jesus came, same thing. Jesus promised us peace. Old Testament says, if you fix your mind on God, there is perfect peace for God's people. But Jesus came, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, right? As I mentioned, many things, many ways that the world recommend peace. Meditate, close your eyes, get enough rest, and eat right, and all these things. Not as the world gives do I give you, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So Jesus promised us that peace. Two chapters later, Jesus said it again. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Say, in Jesus. Say, in Jesus. You may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Right? In this world, you will have troubles, you will have tribulation, but take heart. It reminds me of a story that I read. Speaks about a grumpy old man living by himself, and he was feeling kind of bored, okay? He's healthy, he's feeling kind of bored, and he read somewhere that it would be good for him to get a pet to accompany him. So he decided to give it a go. So he went to the pet store and began to find out what is a good pet for him. He says no to dogs because dogs are too energetic and too lively and he couldn't take it. And he doesn't want cats because the cat is as grumpy as he is. Maybe, I don't know. So he was looking around and finally the shop owner recommended him, well, do you want something that could have a conversation with you? He says, that would be nice. And the pet owner says, why don't you get this parrot? Okay, this parrot can have a conversation with you. And he says, sounds like a good idea, you know. It's easy maintenance, the parrot's in a cage and, you know, I could just put him in a room if I don't want to talk to him. So he decided to buy the cage, buy the parrot and bring it home. And as he brought home and he waited for the parrot to talk, but the parrot did not talk. So he waited 1 week and 10 days went by, he did not talk. So he went back to the store owner and says, hey, you know, I bought this parrot and the parrot, you say the parrot will talk, he did not talk. What should I do? And the owner says, well, maybe if you buy this mirror to put into the cage so that when the parrot sees the mirror, the parrot thought that it was another bird, so the parrot would start talking. So he says, okay, sounds like a good idea. So he bought the mirror and he brought back to the house and he put it into the cage and he waited. Another week goes by, still the parrot did not talk. So this time around, the old man was a little bit upset. Okay, so he has spent some money. So he went back to the shop owner and says, what's the deal, right? The parrot still's not talking. And the shop owner right now is very puzzled. So maybe if you were to buy a bigger cage and there's some toys that you can put inside and there's this nice swing that as the parrot sit there, as he swings, maybe it will talk. Okay, you just got to buy these three stuff. So finally, the old man decided to give it one last try. So he bought the bigger cage, he bought the swing, he bought the toys, and he brought it back to the house and put the parrot. Okay, that's a different bird, okay? Put the parrot into the cage and he waited. 1 week goes by. Again, the parrot did not talk. I mean, this time round, the parrot died. Okay, the parrot died after 4 weeks of not talking. So he was fuming this time around, okay? He was fuming. He stormed into the pet store and he demanded, he said, the parrot did not talk, but it died. And the storekeeper was so, so puzzled. He says, didn't the parrot say anything before it died for the last 4 or 5 weeks? And then the old man thought about it. He says, well, yeah, just before the parrot died, the parrot did say something. What did the parrot say? The parrot says, didn't they sell any food in the pet store? Okay. So basically, the old man did not feed the parrot. Okay, the old man got by everything else except the food. In the same way, right? In our world today, we go for anything and everything except the food that Jesus gave us, which is the Word of God. We go to all kinds of space to find peace, to find rest. We go to this mountain, we go to this holiday, we go to this place, and all we tried, our mind, our soul is still as restless as it can be. And then we turn to buying material things, right? We turn to buying new stuff, new gadgets, a new car, and new treats. And we begin to buy, and again, our hearts are still restless. And then we turn to food. We try new restaurants. We try new experiences. Again, it do not bring about peace. Again, we are on our smartphone, doom scrolling and brain rot. Again, anxiety, crowdedness, things, distress and overwhelm and all these things begin to fill our mind. We do not have perfect peace. But guys, church, the promise, perfect peace is for you and I, God's people. Because Jesus has given Himself to be the ultimate peace, right? He has given Himself to give us not just peace on earth, but spiritual and moral peace. That we can stand before God because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, we can have eternal peace. That even in the midst of facing death, in the midst of facing the most challenging storms of life, we can have peace because Jesus has overcome the world. perfect peace of mind comes when we fix our minds on God. I want to challenge us today. Next 2 weeks, we'll get a little bit more practical. But today, I just want to challenge us to desire to fight for that peace, perfect peace, the shalom peace that is available for us in our mind. And do not allow our mind to just consume and to allow our mind to be just being defiled and being darkened and being numb. But we want to fight for the perfect peace that God has for our mind. Why? Because God is trustworthy. Why? Because it is a harvest of righteousness that we reap as we train and fix our minds on God. Let me pray for us. We're going to do dialogue a little bit in a while. God, I thank you for your word. God, I really want to declare Isaiah 26, verse 3 to 4 in our season, God, Lord, that you keep us in perfect peace. The shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you. God, today we command our mind, God, we discipline our mind, we train our mind, we fix our minds on you, Lord, because you are trustworthy, because we can trust you, that we trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. God, we thank you, God, Lord. And I pray, even as we are recipient of this perfect peace, let us be that conduit, the channel of that peace to the broken world around us. Let us also be the channel of that peace so that the people around us who do not know you, who do not know where to find the perfect divine peace, that we can tell them about the peace from above. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.